Questies, and welcome to the first installment of the Questlade Plans Patreon After Show. I am your host for today, Ned Marie Vocheva, and I have with me my wonderful castmate, Maya Smeng. Hi, Maya.
Hi. So happy to be
here. How are you doing? Oh my god, I'm so excited you're here. I'm super happy to have you as my first guest for my pet project, which I am calling Pitch a Bitch.
Ah. I love it.
I'll probably, look, I'll come up with like a more PG title for it eventually, maybe. I don't know.
I don't know if that's necessary. I will say that I saw my mother last night, and she was asking how things are going, and I told her what I was doing today, and I said, I was explaining like the Patreon bonus content, and I was like, yeah, so it's like, we're gonna pitch, you know, our characters, it's called Pitch a Bitch, and she thought it was hilarious, so.
Amazing.
It passes the mother test, or at least my mother test.
I just called my mom and I told her I was recording, and she was like, well, tell whoever you're recording with, they said hi. And I was like, I'm recording with Maya. And my mom was like, she has a very nice voice.
Aww.
So it's passed both mothers.
Yes. Mother approved. You heard it here first.
Mother approved. Critics rave. Moms like it. So let me explain to the people, what is Pitch a Bitch? It is what it says on the tin. On each episode, I'm going to be inviting one of my castmates or other friends of the pod to just tell me about a character that you've got brewing in your head. It could be a brand new PC that you haven't played yet, or it could be the epic tale of your first ever, like, forum OC. There is no rules. It's just cool stories, cool bitches. So, Maya.
Yes.
Are you ready to pitch a bitch?
I think so. I think I am.
I really hope Megan's gonna give us, like, a cool music bump.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. Should we record preliminary reactions to that in case she does?
Yes, let's do it.
All right. Wow, that was awesome. I can't believe Megan threw that together in a day. That is
so impressive. She's the most talented composer.
She really is.
If I were ever a pro wrestler, I would let her write my like walk-on song.
Amazing. Yeah.
I don't know pro wrestling. I just know it's big and campy.
I think that's the one part that I do know about it, is there are walk-on songs and over-the-top characters. So I think,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, it's, my friends and I have this ongoing bit where I try to argue that pro wrestling and drag are essentially the same art.
I was literally thinking, I was like, pro wrestling makes me think of like drag shows, but for like mostly
straight cis men.
Yeah.
It's like the heightened performance of gender and like the costumes and the camp.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's not why we're here.
I'm not pitching a wrestling bitch, I will say so.
That is an idea for a future episode, is like pitch your pro wrestling character.
Yeah, definitely.
Anyway, I'm gonna shut up. Tell me about your character.
Yeah, so the bitch I picked for this episode is a Dungeons & Dragons player character that I have not played yet.
Amazing.
And in fact, I had the idea really recently, and it was one of those ideas where like, oh, this character deserves her own like arc in a major campaign, and I'm not, there are no, there's no like major campaigns coming up where she would fit. So it's actually the perfect place to talk about her.
Amazing.
So I was trying to figure out where to start with this, but I think I'm going to acknowledge that, if it's not already evident by the fact that I play Windswoop, who is part Air Genasi, is that I love Genasis.
Good.
I love the elemental flavor. And my very first character in Dungeons & Dragons was a water Genasi. It's just, I can't get enough of them. So so this lovely character is more of a variant, a kind of fan variant, an ice Genasi.
Cool.
I picked very cool and chill. I picked that to go with the Druid Circle of Land subclass, because you can pick which region that those druids are associated with, and I really liked the vibe of the Arctic druids. And so in my head I was like, okay, imagine a druidic tribe in the far away, isolated Arctic, and they're just full of, like, water and ice genasi. They have their own little belief system going on, and they have their own magical powers that are very, like, cold and ice-flavored, and their own gods and whatnot with all that thematics. And that got me to thinking about that, like, wonderful trope of the cryogenically frozen Destiny hero.
Oh my god. So, okay. Are we doing Captain America?
Yes, like Captain America, like Avatar The Last Airbender, which I just did a great rewatch on. But this has more of a flavor, kind of like Avatar and Captain America meets Futurama, because Fry was also cryogenically frozen by accident. And so, all of that to say is, my character, this lovely little ice genasi, is an absolute dumbass who accidentally took the destined hero's frozen spot. So they had this idea, this prophecy, that one of their great warriors needed to be preserved for some future disaster or calamity to face and save the world. Mm-hmm. And so they made all these preparations using their special ice magic to preserve their best warrior. And but my character is like that. I had decided, like, her exact role in the society, because I didn't want to put too much definition on it. But essentially she's like, I don't know, the, like, janitor or, like, some, like, lab assistant who's just, like, you know, the intern, you know, what have you.
Amazing. Who,
during,
like, low status.
Yeah, yeah. Who just, like, through some series of, like, comedic accidents is the one who ends up in the chamber. And so then we pick up her story, like, you know, hundreds of years, thousands of years, whatever, how long it is in the future, when she's discovered by the present day, whoever, whether it's the party or, like, some NPCs or something, and they believe, based on a prophecy, that she is the warrior who is meant to face the impending disaster. But she's just that. She's just like, she's not. She's a total dope. But she has to pretend to be. She's like, oh, shoot, my entire tribe has been dead for however long. I'm the only survivor. There's all these expectations of me. I have to do it. But she's deeply unqualified, unprepared. And yeah, it would be super fun to play that character. Trying to, like, and the way that I would play it is that she would be very obviously not the hero, but thinks that she's doing a good job of pretending to be. So just, you know, just like that, I don't know, that comedy of her just being like, I'm the great warrior, and her arms are like, have no strength at all, you know. It's like just real obvious.
Oh god.
Stuff, you know, like.
Yeah, I was gonna ask, do you think she, like, comes out to whatever party finds her, like, pretty early on, or do you think she, like, really tries to fill this?
I think that would depend on the nature of the party and how how insightful they are, how much they care, you know, because I feel like some parties are like, we don't care what your deal is, we just want to make
Can
money
you fight?
Right now.
Please,
yeah,
please join us.
You have some, like, healing spells, you have some cool, like, animal talking spells, they come in handy, like, just do that, we don't care what your deal is. So
so there's two options here, really. Is I'm immediately imagining a party of, like, zealots who have been following, like, the legend of this cult.
Oh my god.
So they think they've found, like,
the one.
This massive, the one, mm-hmm, from their prophecy. And maybe there is something that's about to happen. Maybe there is a great disaster coming up. And they're like, there we go, we've solved it. This was our, like, level 12 quest. We found them. We're gonna make all of this beautiful, like, fire magic and thaw them and pull them out of the ice. Mm-hmm. And then it's, what is your character's name? Does she have a name?
She does. And in fact, her name is my favorite part. I named her Gel Shivers.
I love her so much. I'm obsessed with her.
Yeah, I think I like tried to give her like a proper fantasy name, like Jelita Shivras. But I was like, nah, she's just Gel. Just Gel Shivers.
Gel. Gel Shivers. I love her so much. I think she introduces herself like that to the party, mm-hmm. and they immediately assume there's like the classic fantasy comedy trope of like there's a bunch of apostrophes and tildes yeah. and stuff and shivers, shivers.
Yeah, they, some shit. They pronounce it in this like very like, you know, convoluted
it's full,
way.
Fantasy high,
yeah.
Fabian.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like they refuse. She's like, no, I can't stress this enough. I'm very low status. This is a mistake. They're like, no, great one. She's so humble.
Right, right. That's that's the other option too, is like she comes clean immediately, but no one believes her. They're like, ah, the great tenet of humility. You cannot they just believe
that. It's the whole thing of like only a true hero would like deny being a
yeah,
hero.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
It's oh, so fucking funny.
Yeah. And meanwhile she just like I like I haven't even though I love playing druids as well, they're one of my favorite classes, if not my favorite class. I haven't leaned too far into the like talking to animals and plants mm-hmm. part of it. Mm-hmm. That's just so quirky about them. But with Gel, I think that's like all she would want to do. Like all she wants to do is like wander off and like talk to a moose or something, you know? Like. And it's very much like
truly the DM's bane of I'm going to ask every single animal about every single thing.
Yeah. And then just like, you know, just like wanders off on a tangent, just like talking about how the nut harvest has been in the forest lately. Just like gossiping about forest animal tea, you know.
Forest animal tea.
The drama between, you know, squirrel territories and whatnot.
Oh, God. Yeah, there is, like, some animal that mates for life, and it's very, like, scandalized that someone else isn't doing that.
Yeah.
It's, like, a whole full, like, Narnia when they meet the beavers.
Yeah. Yeah,
you
exactly.
said cold and also, like, talking animals, and I was like, you know, the beavers in Narnia.
Totally beavers
foundational
in Narnia.
Text.
No, that's a... No, that's totally accurate. Also, yeah, I mean, if it's the Arctic, it really, there shouldn't even be squirrels. It'll be, like, Arctic foxes and stuff.
I have a question about the deep lore of Gel and her
sure.
tribe. Do we think, is Gel the reason an apocalypse is already happening?
Oh my god, that would be... Just, like, the biggest mistake of the century. Yeah, I think that'd be hilarious.
Because there is no, she wasn't, the real hero wasn't frozen for whatever event was coming.
Mm.
So do we assume the event came and...
Oh, yeah.
There was no hero to unfreeze.
But the prophecy remained, but the disaster had already happened, and so she still comes out thinking that she has something to do, but actually there's nothing to do.
There's like a minor, like there's like a fucking kobold invasion in the village. It's nothing huge.
There is a version, I couldn't decide if I wanted to like commit to this or not, there is a version where... Not only did she accidentally take the hero's place, but it was like a lab accident where she ended up killing the hero, you know?
Oh no.
Like one of those like, you know, like he falls and hits his head kind of thing, you know?
Oh God,
just, like
no.
Very awkward. And so she jumps into the chamber just to be like, well, someone's got to do it. And you know, I was like, there's
no one else knows in this.
Yeah.
In this situation, in this like version of the event.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like during, like, maybe it was during, like, the very, maybe it was, like, during the, like, the private, like, ritual or ceremony, and she, like, fell asleep, or she was, like, hanging out in the chamber itself, and, like, didn't realize that all of this was going on. And the hero comes in to, like, take his place in, like, the whatever, the ice coffin that they've prepared. The ice coffin. And then is, like, startled because she's like, what's going on? She, like, wakes up and he's like, you're not supposed to be here. And there's, like, a weird altercation. And
there is, like, a scuffle.
Yeah. And then she just, like, yeah, just something really messed up that wasn't supposed to happen.
I love that. I just had to Google how long do Genasi live, and it's only 120-ish years. Yeah. But I do want to pitch an alternative bitch, which is...
I love an alternative that bitch.
No one said that the actual hero who was supposed to be the hero has to be a Genasi. They could That's be, true. Like, some sort of high elf or something. They could very much still be alive and holding a grudge.
Oh, my God. That would
like
be
like they run into each other in a tavern. It's like you.
I love how it's not like a dramatic encounter. It's just like a random like we're just having
it's
fun.
Like seeing someone, you're seeing someone from high school at like the yeah. supermarket. You're like, oh no.
See, that's so great. Like, I would love if I played that in a DM. Did that to me and I didn't expect it because that would just be truly the most like mind-blowing thing. I'm just like, yeah, Jell, she's the only survivor of her tribe and she's doing her best to carry on this legacy even though it's like super not for her, and then like the person she was replacing is just there. Like, I would just
there
freak
and like
out.
Bitter and holding a grudge because their entire life plan got fucked up because they were gonna be cryogenically frozen. That was their thing.
Yeah.
And then that opportunity like went away, so now they're just a traveling adventurer because there was nothing else to do or something.
Or they could be a villain boss that the party has to fight because their life took such a dark turn that
they're like so full of vengeance.
Yeah.
Full like oath of vengeance paladin.
They like started their own new cult, and it's like now that's based around.
I mean,
that.
I did say a party of zealots.
That's true.
So it could very much be that this person is the quest giver.
That's true.
Who is like, I know there's a frozen bitch somewhere. Go find her.
Oh.
But like in that like fucked up like warlock patron way where they make it seem like it's like a godly mission, totally. But it's actually like I'm just very mad at Jell.
Yeah, I'm just just pissed off at this one frozen bitch. Yeah.
Jell and I just need to have some words. I'm obsessed with her. I love her so much.
I know. I think it's so fun because there's so many ways you can take it and just for humor, for drama, also for like theme, because like, you know, what if she does end up becoming a hero? Like, does that mean that the prophecy was right? Or is it
fucking Greek tragedy bullshit?
Yeah. Or is it just that we make our own destinies regardless of what is so, you know, like, it's so you could kind of go either way with it. But along the way, lots of comedy of errors, lots of potential for just flawed protagonist, you know, shenanigans.
I'm obsessed with her. I love her so much. I also love like a dumb druid because as a druid you're like mechanically you should have extremely high wisdom.
So that's like, and I think I would, but I feel like the wisdom would just have to be a very like niche like connection to like maybe that's where you know, her love for the animals comes in. It's like she's very specifically just like the ice druid equivalent of a horse girl kind of thing, you know, like
moose girl
reindeer girl, like
oh.
I think and so she has a very good time, and that's why she's like so into like the conversations that she has with them and the connections that she has. But like terrible charisma, obviously, you know, gotta be the dump stat. Just like terrible with like dealing with anybody else, and intelligence is kind of like hit or miss with druids, so you know, like just but yeah, oh, so super funny. Clueless about her social standings. I don't know, I think it would just be so fun just to play that. And yeah, and I love
that. I love that she comes with, like, an entire world.
Yeah.
Like, she has to exist in a very specific context.
That's, yeah. That's why it's like, oh, there's not really anything that's like a good fit for her, because it would, I feel like she would have to be made for like an entirely like homebrewed campaign or like something like that, or something where a lot of people are, a campaign where there's a lot of freedom for that kind of new boar to enter into it. And that's fine. That's fine. I think I'm patient, you know, maybe something will come up
maybe
eventually.
One day. Megan, if you're listening.
Megan will be listening.
QOP side quest.
Megan, I hope you're listening to your own.
Please be listening. Yeah. She has to be. She has to edit this.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yes. Hello, future Megan. Hope you enjoy editing this.
Give us nice music and also a nice world.
Yeah. Yeah, you can do that,
give
right?
Give Jell a spinoff. Yeah. Maybe we can, like, live stream a one-shot for Jell or something.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm open to that. You know, I'm also, like, you know, I'm not in a rush. I think, obviously, she's really fun, but it's just nice to be able to just, like, talk with her, talk about her.
And talk with her.
She's in my head at all times.
Do you find it pretentious when players are like, oh, my character is in my head, like, talking to me at all times?
This is so interesting because I'm, you know, in addition to being a clearly very talented and skilled D&D player, I'm also a writer. And this is something that, like, writers say all the time, that, like, oh, yeah, my characters, they live inside my head and they like take control of the narrative and they don't want to do the things that I ask them to do.
Yep.
And I'm like, I get that. Like, I definitely understand that. But yeah, I think sometimes people are a little like too like preachy about it, you know, like they're like whole people, you know, possessing you or whatever. And it's like, no, you do have control. It's what's happening there is that, like, your mind is changing. So you're thinking of a new idea based on the creative layers that you've built out in this character. And that's very cool. But it's not like, you know, like, let's have, you know, some sense of reality. That's my controversial opinion that I'm sure a lot of people will be like, no, it really is that way. And I'm like, I mean, it is.
I really want to be like you, but also I know that there's like 12 little bitches who just scream at me at all times.
I mean, it definitely feels that way. Like, that's sort of, yeah.
Very infamously, Megan DMs a home campaign with Jesse and Jamie and myself and our homebrew artist Nikki, and mine and Nikki's characters love each other very much, but they argue a lot about everything all the time. Mm-hmm. And I like to think I'm normal about it until Nikki and I are like three drinks in and switching into character voice to have an argument, which has happened on multiple occasions.
That's amazing.
So, you know, sometimes you are, sometimes you're just a very good actor.
Yeah.
And, like, method acting.
Exactly.
And,
sometimes
like,
you're so method that you just, like, are that character.
That is, I regret bringing us to this place. I would never want to be called a method actor. My God.
I think the key detail in there is the three drinks in.
Yeah, we're not just LARPing at each other. Just at random, my God.
You could see it as like, you know, the alcohol unlocks that deeply creative part of you.
But is that worse? Is what I want.
You tell me. How would you? What kind of actor do you want to be in the world?
Oh God, that's not a conversation. That's for when someone's interviewing me. This
oh,
is your
right.
Episode.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yes. Go ahead. Take back host control. I'm sorry.
I have one more question about Jell.
Absolutely.
And then I have some other questions I want to ask you. But first of all, we haven't done the most important part of this, which is, what does Jell look like?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Describe Jell to me.
I actually did do a pick ruse of her.
Oh my God, please send them to me. We can put them up on Patreon for the people, with proper credit to the pick ruse artist, of course.
Yes, definitely. She's got, so I'm just pulling it up right now. I don't have the file handy to send it to you at the moment, but I do have just like a sort of screenshot right now. She's got like the most like dopey ass smile. She's got her thumbs up. But yeah, she has like really pale blue skin. She's got kind of sort of a frosty vitiligo thing going on. I don't know if I'm saying that word right, but yeah, like patches of her skin are like just, you know, pure white frost, and then the rest is like pale blue, and it's that's kind sick. Of yeah, it's I think it's yeah, I love, I don't know, I love that look. Yeah, and she has like really like platinum blonde hair that is kind of just kind of done up in like a real messy pony, just like a real devil may care, just get it out of my face kind of bun or ponytail. And yeah, just like just deep, deep blue eyes. She likes wearing, I found that like she likes wearing yellow. I think yellow is definitely like her color, just this bright, sunny yellow.
That's so interesting.
Yeah. I don't know. It just looks good, like with kind of the contrast of everything.
Yeah. I wasn't imagining a warm color. That's actually very cool.
Yeah. I think it sort of speaks to like, you know, again, it kind of it fit her personality. Is she really is like, if you took out all of the rest of the like incompetence and like, you know, like ridiculous expectations that she finds herself in, at the end of the day she is just like, she's kind of sweet, you know, well, means well, just a aww, just like just a kind of, there's not a good word for like, I know we have, our society has embraced the concept of a himbo very, very well.
Yeah.
But that came from the word bimbo, but bimbo does not mean the same
thing.
Yeah,
bimbo has different, and like, we are in the bimbo era of people like embracing bimbos as well, but that has very different implications, I think.
Yeah, yeah, it definitely has, right, yeah, it comes with very different connotations. So I guess she's like, you know, she is like herself kind of a female himbo, if that makes any sense. just like head empty, you know, just animals, just loves animals, loves sunshine, you know, really does enjoy, you know, the kind of the cold magic that she does. But I feel like that might also tie into her incompetence within this tribe, is like, you know, they could expect a certain vigilance, a kind of emotionlessness, maybe even that in order to channel the element, the powerful element of ice, you know, you must withstand intense cold. And she just never quite had that presence, that mindset. she is too warm, you know, to be like truly of the cold. But I think, you know, I could picture her more being like the kind of She's like ice cubes in your lemonade, kind of cold. so yeah, that's sort of like that's the general appearance that I had in mind. I hadn't gone super into detail yet.
One last question about Jel, because I'm obsessed with her.
she's fun.
She is awesome. Assuming that Jel's adventure goes well and she gets to level all the way up, what does Archdruid Jel at level 20 look like?
Yeah.
Like in terms of vibe, in terms of growth, in terms of all of it.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way to know for sure. It depends on, you know, the nature of the relationships that she makes and what kind of challenges she overcomes. But I think in her mind, I don't even know if she would have ever daydreamed that, but maybe she did when she was like really, really young and just sort of assumed that all druids became archdruids.
The one career path for druids.
Yeah. I think she would definitely want to set up her own like little society, little tribe, but in her mind it's all very like, you know, footloose and fancy free, you know, like very much like, when I grow up and I become an archdruid, I'm gonna let all the druid kids just do whatever they want. Like, you know, like, we'll definitely worship nature. We'll definitely, you know, learn to respect, you know, the cycles of the earth and, you know, the storms in the sky and all the animals. But they can just kind of do whatever they want and worship however they want. And I think she just, like, would, like, envision herself just the like, protector of this society. Like, she's like, when I've got all those Amazing. Powers, I'm gonna, like, protect it. I'm gonna be friends with all of the, like, neighboring tribes or cities or what have you. I don't know. I think it's just a very, in her mind, a very, like, childlike imagining of like, what paradise and peace means, and that she could just have the power to facilitate that.
Wow.
Whether or not that's actually possible remains to be seen, but I think that's what she would strive for.
Would she go back to, like, a cold place for that? Mm. Or do you think she finds somewhere with seasons?
Yeah, I think there's definitely a possibility that, like, along her journey, she's exposed to so many more, like, so much mm-hmm. more, like, biodiversity and, yeah, and, like, just falls in love with, like, oh my goodness, like, I cannot believe how many different types of terrain there is, like, you know, like, yeah, different seasons. You know, like, the first time she experiences, like, a hurricane will be terrifying because she's not brave, but I think it'd be one of those things where she's, like, terrified the whole way through, and then when it's done, she's like, that was awesome, like,
yes,
like, it was a really scary amusement park ride for her, and so I think she would maybe try to find, you know, a place where she could, yeah, where she could make it kind of like a cool oasis, mm-hmm. maybe, but either really close to or adjacent to or even inside of, you know, some much more, like, diverse area. I think there's definitely potential for that. And then I imagine, you know, we love found families in our D&D parties. Of course. If she has,
it goes,
like,
without saying,
obviously, if she has, like, long lasting friendships, I think, you know, that would mean a lot to her.
Mm.
And she would want to position herself somewhere where she can still stay in touch with those friends. Because she never had, like, real friends, you know, in her
tribe.
When
she was an intern.
When she was a really incompetent intern. And a really bad druid.
She's awesome. Well, there you have it. That's the story of Jell.
That's the story. Story of Jell.
Thank you so much for pitching this bitch. I want to, real quick, before I let you go, talk about some other stuff, which
yes.
is, we talked mm-hmm. off the record
yep.
about some things, and I was like, this is good content, because, you know, I structure all of my friendships around, like, what is good content.
Yeah.
You and I have had the same introduction to the world of role-playing and yes. Being collaborative storytellers yes. in the fantasy world. Mm-hmm. Talk to me about forum RPs, please. Just tell me
oh, man.
How you get from there to here
to
now
here
being
now.
A real TTRPG professional PM.
Oh my goodness. This is so...
Also, explain forum RPs, because I think some of our listeners are younger than this.
Yeah, or too old.
Or too old.
Or just too, like, had their own, you know, stuff going on in their real lives and weren't...
We're not terminally online
yeah.
in the early 2000s.
I feel like I've had to at least attempt to loosely explain this to so many people, because the truth of the matter is... We'll start with the very positive, which is that many of my deepest friendships were from these online communities, we'll call them, and including my current roommate and a former roommate as well, who is also still a friend. So I've actually, like, lived with people that I met with online, which is very accepted nowadays, but was not really
yeah.
still kind of newish when we started. Like, so I started... Oh, this is gonna date me. Oh boy.
I think this conversation is already dating us. Fine.
If we want to go way, 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 way back, I started on the illustrious Neopets website, circa 2001 or 2002, when everything was just so shiny and new. And they had kind of their version of forums. They had multiple ways. I think they had, like, chat rooms as well or something. But I stuck to their guilds, which were these... Like, you could join as a member, and then you can interact with those other members mm-hmm. various ways. I ended up joining a guild that did this thing called role playing, which I'd never heard of before. But when I found out, it's like, oh, you're just writing with other people? That's like so cool to like 12-year-old me, because like I loved writing, but like it was a very solitary activity. And, you know, full disclosure, this was like, you know, just full like fantasy type stuff. This first guild of mine was a fantasy wolf role playing. So yes, yeah, they were entirely, this is like entirely fictional, you know, based on just the really now debunked bad science of like alphas and betas and all of that.
Oh God.
They weren't even like, they're not really, this is before Omegaverse, okay? Like, this is...
Yeah, I was gonna say, this is like, my goodness.
This is not even, it was literally just, a bunch of, like, preteens basically role-playing, like, tribes or packs, you know, like, they were just, like, small cities, really. There were way too many characters for there to be, like, an actual pack. And they just had magic powers. They were just wolves with magic powers. Like, it was...
That's acceptable, I think.
Yeah. It was very, like, there was an anime that came out, I think, like, Wolf's Reign or something, or, like, Inuyasha, where, like, that was, like, just the vibe that people were after. And... there's also like a book as well that was popular, like a young adult or middle grade book that was popular at the time, where it was just like anthropomorphized wolves just like hanging out and talking. I don't remember there was, you know, drama or whatnot. I don't remember the name of it right now, but I didn't know or care about any of this. I was just like, oh my God, people like to write like in this way? That's so cool. So my very first, my very first OC ever in this was a wolf called Star Mist. And yes, it was Mist with a Y.
Yes.
I cannot.
Oh, amazing.
It's like pure confessional time. Like, yes, I was one of those people. I loved it so much. And yeah, it was just like, I don't know, there was just a lot of just posting and stuff and like weird drama, because I think what's true of all forum RPs, once we kind of graduated from Neopets to like actual private forums, there were these websites called like Easy Boards, Pro Boards, or whatnot, where you could like build your own community basically in the form of a forum and have, you know, I mean, I think they're still around, but like this was like the way to do it in...
Forget a QOP Discord. Let's start a forum.
Yeah. Let's bring it back. Let's bring it back to forum.
The QOP forum.
Yeah, exactly. This was the pre-Tumblr days, you know, so live journal times as well. You know, like this is ancient internet history for a lot of people. But I think the main like kind of drama that would come up is just like people just wanted to be, when you're collaborative storytelling and everyone is kind of parroting their own character in each post, everyone kind of wants to be the main character, you know?
Yep.
And some people were very gracious about, you know, actually playing off of one another's energies and storylines and actually forming decent relationships and plots out of that. Others were not so much. Others just wanted to be, you know, that's where that dreaded, this is around the time when that dreaded term Mary Sue first started coming up, but people just like,
oh God,
I know it's like, I know it has like, it's overused and it's like terrible now, but it like came up with just like, you know, a bunch of like just nerdy internet people who just wanted their character to be the center of attention, you know, like. So yeah, there's a lot of drama around that because like people loved denying that they were that person.
Yeah.
And calling other people out for being that person while they were doing their own
shit. Because you want to think that your character is actually that interesting.
Exactly.
It's like, I'm not, I'm doing you the favor of giving you a lot of my character because my character is that fucking interesting.
Exactly. Yeah.
Did you used to do like shorter paper posts or just like big paragraphs of?
Yeah. We started out very short. I think because, on the Neopets guilds, it was like, I think they might have even had a word or character limit or something. Mm-hmm. And when we moved to forums, Most people kind of stayed with that, but others would kind of come in and challenge us by like writing this. Oh my God, purple prose was like the thing as well. Yep. Like that's oh the other God, thing right. of this time is like people were just like, people just like raided the thesaurus for like any way of saying, you know,
her glowing blue orbs.
Oh, the orbs, the oculars was another one, you know, like we could describe like their in the wolf scene, you'd be describing their ears, their tails, you know, like oh. all this God. Stuff. Yeah, it was all this all, it went deep. And I'm saying all this like
wolf scene, she says, like that's a normal thing to say.
Gosh, I know. Listen, I wouldn't be talking about this if I was not part of the problem. And
this, the more we talk about this, the more I want to do like a side project where we just talk about fandom history.
Yeah.
The history of like collective storytelling.
Oh, totally.
And like how that transfers into like fan fiction as well.
Yeah. Because
to this day, I can always tell when a fan fiction writer is like not 21 years old and has been around since the Blue Orbs day, you know? It's just like there's like remnants of like style that mm-hmm. have kind of, yeah, that's like a whole other conversation.
Yeah. I know. I don't want to get too into it because, I mean, gosh, like we could really, that's just a significant portion of my formative years and I could just talk
yeah,
about
same.
It with great length. But yeah, I mean, just to kind of like summarize, it's like, yeah, I spent many years honing my craft. No, just having a good time.
honing my craft.
no, it was just, you know, I mean, it was just recreational. There was no reason to take myself so seriously there, you know, but I did learn, you know, kind of gradually over many, many years of this. I learned a lot about how to kind of just like make a character that others people can respond to mm-hmm. and like, you know, what makes... how to kind of embody that type of character that actually is a little bit interesting to play against, to play off of. And I learned, you know, a lot of like qualities that I like in characters, like the type of characters that I like to play. Like Windswept is definitely a descendant from a lot of my early, mm-hmm. early nervous, introverted type of characters. Only she's had a chance to grow up a little bit, unlike they did. And yeah, I did learn stuff. I also learned a lot about like, yeah, artistic egos and how they get in the way of things. And
yep,
you know, it was an interesting sort of thing. But yeah, you know, forums were great aesthetically because if you had someone who had the kind of graphic design is my passion skill, then you could, you know, they would look beautiful, yeah. you know, gorgeous backgrounds, smooth scrolling. Each little sub forum is kind of like a group where you can gather all the messages and threads together, you know, could have images of the setting involved. So you could go to this beautiful place and have a thread between two characters there. They were very pretty to look at. and you felt, you know, like if you did have friends in there, you did feel like you had this cool exclusive little club that you were a part of,
yeah.
you know? So I think it was, you know, we can talk all day about them, but it was super valuable and super fun. And yeah, I don't know if there's a direct path from that to what I do now. I think the direct path to what I do now is being friends with Megan. but no, it's definitely just like, just practice in making new characters, experimenting with styles and traits and all that. So that'll be my that's my final word on that.
Amazing. I'm sure the more we talk about this, next time I have you on, we will arrive at even more poignant conclusions
yes.
about mm-hmm. our past and childhood growing up in those spaces. But I think I think we've pitched very successfully a bitch yes. here on this day. Thank you so much for telling me about Jill and about your
my pleasure.
Past history. I hope you've enjoyed yourself.
I did. I am a little nervous about what kind of, you know, anyone who listens to this, what kind of opinions or comments that they may have. And
hey, listen, they've gotten this far. It's fine. They already like us. While we have you here, let me just real quick say thank you so much for supporting the show. If you're listening to this, that means that you are helping us keep the lights on in the Metaphorical Studio, and we always very much appreciate that. Tell your friends. Spread the word.
Tell your forum RP partners.
Tell your reach out to your forum RP partners yes. that you haven't spoken to in 10 years.
Yeah, do it. Just be like, hey, remember when we were just kind of goofing around in AIM chat? Well, now.
Remember when we were wolves?
Remember when we were wolves? I am still in touch with some of those friends, so, like, I shouldn't make
I'm very much still in touch with my very first forum friends.
I'm saying it like a joke, but it's actually probably real. I probably will reach out to some of them and just be like, hey.
Yeah, tell your friends. Tell your RP partners.
Love you guys,
thank
by the
you
way.
So much for listening. spread the love, and we will see you and hear from you next month. Bye, everyone.
Thanks, Questies.